Welcome. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I think tonight's VOD we're going to entitle three words: accomplishments, experiences, and opportunities. Accomplishments, experiences, opportunities. Where do I begin? It's a very good question. This week's Parsha, Torah talks about the Meraglim and how they came to check out the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah says, Kulom Anoshim, they're all great Chashuva people, right? We know amongst them, Yeshua was there, Kali was there, tremendous, tremendous people. And unfortunately, what happened with the Meraglim was they gave a bad report about Eretz Yisrael, spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and they were the gorim, they were the cause of the Bnei Yisrael wandering for 40 years in the Midbar, the Bnei Yisrael not immediately entering Eretz Yisrael, not entering Eretz Yisrael, which Chazal say could have been the beginning of Yemos HaMashiach. They had Moshe lead them in, they go into Eretz Yisrael after Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah Satorah, on such a madrega, and that all could have been possible. And really, there was everything, Chazal say, there for them to do that. Even the things they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, one of the things they said, Eretz Ochar L'Sil Shvahi, they found all the people were dying, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's a horrible land. Look at the fruits, these weird, crazy-looking fruits. Doesn't look normal. Big fruits. Chazal say each of those things was tremendous hashkacha pratis and brachos, which were for them. The big fruits were a sign of tremendous Eretz Yisrael, of tremendous bracha. And yeah, there were supersized fruits in Eretz Yisrael that you wouldn't find anywhere else. The reason the people were dying was so that the Bnei Yisrael would be able to check out the land without everyone else noticing. So really, around them, they should have come back with a wonderful, wonderful report about Eretz Yisrael and should have only encouraged Bnei Yisrael to go in. They should have seen the miracles Hashem was making and take advantage of it. But instead, the Meraglim came back with a bad report, and the rest, unfortunately, is history. Now, if that isn't a picture of what a missed opportunity is, I'm not sure what is. The Bnei Yisrael could have gone into Eretz Yisrael on the highest of Madregas, brought about the climax, the epitome of what life in this world bring about the most of Mashiach, such a high Madrega, and they squandered it, they messed up, they missed out on the opportunity. Now, opportunities in my order of topics really comes last, but I decided to start here with this week's Parsha. Because when you see what happens when people miss out on opportunities, all the more so a person should appreciate when people accomplish things in life. And unfortunately, most of the time, with many people in many situations, life is a story of missed opportunities. People have chances to do things, chances to accomplish, and unfortunately they're squandered. They're wasted, and the Meraglim were great people, and they missed out on opportunities. And there are ma'asim b'chol yom of people that have opportunities in life and miss out on them. And if that is a metzias from the Meraglim and on, or the more so that puts into perspective, we're sitting here towards the end of Azman, and you look back at accomplishments of Azman, it makes all the more so special and so amazing what individually, guys in yeshiva here are accomplished, and all the more so what as a yeshiva we accomplish this year. And I'll go through some of the bigger ones first, I guess, as a yeshiva, and then we'll talk individually. You know, as a yeshiva, Rabbi Luban already stated it publicly at the end of before Pesach, that the learning in this yeshiva this year was on a pretty, pretty chosh of a level. The Shmiras HaSadarim was phenomenal. Shachris was very, very good. You go up and down the charts. As a whole, the yeshiva did an amazing thing. There was a tremendous ruach of learning. Guys learning very well. The word was out in many places. Baruch Hashem, you know, that helps your recruiting. We could always use guys' help last minute. But, yeah, it was a tremendous, tremendous man. And really, I think it goes without saying, but I think it's good to mention. You know, we sat, I was thinking about this mood. We sat in this room 2 months ago, beginning of Pesach Zman. And to be honest, myself with the Resel and Hala, we're quite nervous because we, as a yeshiva as a whole, obviously everyone individuals, suffered a tremendous, tremendous loss. The loss of Rosh Arfman is irreplaceable. And that's definitely something that was a big challenge. And we sat here and we talked about it, and we talked about Schosim and different things. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, we've done multiple projects, initiatives, ideas. There's still more to go. You know, it's something that we hope, you know, not just a thing you do sometimes a little bit. It's something beyond the yeshiva's radar for years and years and years to come. But the fact that we had, you know, Baruch Hashem, I think we could continue to say a very strong Zman, despite such things, is a big accomplishment for the yeshiva as a whole. All the more so when you look at what we learned this year, you know, as a yeshiva, was Maseches Yevamos, which is a mesechta which many, many people still fear, they tzitter from. Some yeshivas don't do it. All different things. It wasn't the reason. All different things. Like, Yevamos is scary. And trust me, I'm sure there are people sitting here. We got scared at points. But it's something that, you know, we saw it, we seized it. Can't say we fully conquered it. A few sigas I still not sure pshat. Guys are listening. Guys might have more sigas than I have. But it's Lamaisa Yevamos is something that Baruch Hashem, we learned pretty well. A Yevamos man. I remember once seeing recently an article about some Rosh Hashiva, that his entire family, we're talking about women and girls, children, they all knew, oh, this is a Yevamos man. A Yevamos man was like a different thing, and like that Rebbe's house was like a different experience because it was Yevamos. It was, and I think, you know, we'll get to that in a moment. You might have to get to that right now. But in terms of the experiences, it's something to remember and something we'll never forget. But in general, the learning was very good. You know, there guys got into Shmuzim, Musar. We actually started Musar Bespilos. Always use Chesuk, but a wonderful thing. And so all in all, as a yeshiva, there are tremendous, tremendous accomplishments. As individuals, I'm not going to go around. Maybe we'll talk on Shabbos about certain individuals leaving the yeshiva. But as a whole, you know, as individuals, people know themselves and know, and I'm here to emphasize more because some accomplishments people know. If you kept Siddharim and, you know, you realized you did the kias well or you learned in well and this, there's some accomplishments people know about. But to be honest, there are many, many accomplishments that people themselves don't even realize. And, you know, in learning, I'll start there. You know, picking up a derech in learning is something which doesn't happen in a day. It's not something you buy a kit. Oh, the brisker derech. Put in your shopping cart. You know, put in cart. Right? You can't just, you know, you could probably learn a language that way. Right? You buy, even the airports I've seen recently, they have these sets, right? I don't know, languages for dummies, this and that, Rosetta Stone. You just buy the set, you learn the things, you know. But when it comes to learning, you can't pick up a derech. You know, you can't open a sefer and learn a derech from a sefer. It doesn't work like that. The way a person picks up a derech in learning is day in and day out, learning skills, seeing how a Rebbe dissects a sugya, learns a sugya, reads a Rashi, understands a Marsha, all these things little by little. And as the year goes on, like the guy said, oh yeah, Rebbe, I knew you'd say that. Or the guy himself is Machaven, and that's something, one of the beautiful things the Rebbe sees, is as the year goes on, the growth of a Talmud and what type of questions he asks, how he's able to maneuver in an answer. You see that growth. Okay, the guys may not see that so clear. But little by little, that's how you pick up a derech. That's how you pick up something in learning. You know, it's tremendous. Now, guys say, oh, I remember something Rebbe told me way back. Really? You remember that? But yeah, things have an impact. We don't even realize. Sometimes it just blurts out of us. Oh, Taka, I remember something. Do you remember? You know when that was? And it's hard to see a growth as you go through a year, little by little, step by step. Just like, remember, I give the mashal. As a little kid, I was always trying to figure out. My clock didn't have a second's hand. And I would always try to watch and see when exactly is it changing. You know, cookie look, I wouldn't see the change. But if I look away and look back a while later, then you see the change. Well, now is the while later. So from the beginning of the year till now, sure, everybody in terms of his basic learning skills is making learning skills. No one's saying everyone's perfect. No one's saying that we could conquer the world yet. But people's skills in learning, there's no question. Every day, every daf, every sugya makes a big difference in a person's accomplishments in learning. And you're a different person who walked in these doors and out. No question about it. So that's Derech HaLimud, Yedias and Bekias, Yedias and Halacha, all these things. But there's another step. You know, you have to give credit to Rabbi Saul Salanter. Rabbi Saul Salanter was a man for putting, like, his pithy statements could summarize so much depth in just, in the way he said it. You know, I think of my dear Rabbi Sharfman, you know, would just have a way of expressing something like, wow, it gets across. What takes other people paragraphs and minutes to say over, if you say something clearly in a certain sentence, it just blows it away. So one of the famous Rabbi Saul Salanter statements, which I'm sure everyone here knows, is it's easier to finish all of Shas than to change one midah. That's a mimer we've all heard many, many times. But let's like stop for a second and to hear what that means practically for us. That means, look, to obviously change a midah. Did he mean fully? He meant tikkun? He meant kvisha? I'm not sure. But how come that? How far Rabbi Saul Salanter meant you had to, is greater than finishing off Shas. But we obviously realize when Rabbi Saul Salanter talked about finishing Shas, he didn't mean a tourist doing Daf Yomi. Rabbi Saul Salanter meant somebody going through Shas, be'ion, be'havana, to become an absolute bucky in knowing Shas well. That's what it meant in Rabbi Saul Salanter's time of finishing Shas. So he said, changing one midah is greater than finishing all of Shas. It's a harder task. So that means if a person had growth over his man in any area of his midos, now again, doesn't have to mean necessarily everything is relative. Doesn't have to mean he totally conquered it, totally was kofishit, but he made it some tikkunim. He grew, he matured. This area, which till now was a problem for him, now became less of a problem. That's a big deal. That's a big accomplishment. Oh, I happen to be talking to somebody in Yeshiva today, so I'm telling the fact, you know, there's a certain thing he had to overcome this year, certain adversity. Thought he did it pretty well. So he's like, yeah, okay, talk, I did that. Didn't even realize. But the Maisa, I'm not sure where you rate these things. No, finishing Shas, fixing a midah. Finishing Shas, they might put you up on the dais, you know, not in the Barclays Center, but, you know, somewhere they'll put you up on the dais. Look, people who are Messiah Shas, wow, great. The guy works on his midah, you know, who knows about that? Sometimes his roommate, sometimes his chavrusas, Sometimes his Rebbe. Sometimes, I don't know, his parents. Many times, nobody. Just you and yourself. You worked on a midah. You were kovich yetzahara, you know, behind closed doors. But you know what? That's a big accomplishment. And we have to realize, I think it's a part of the importance of really appreciating what yeshiva is of course a person can have accomplishments and growth in midos and do what did in Torah outside his time and his years in yeshiva. But really yeshiva is that opportunity, that place where there's a certain environment, a certain avira. I have to get ready, start using Hebrew. But certain ruach around, oh, we work on midos, we talk about midos. Right, Luban Shir, guys say their own shmuzim. Right? Big stuff. Of course, that was one a big accomplishment, too. You know, I digress for a minute. One of my favorite shmuzim I once came up with. But at the end of Parshas Vizos HaBracha, it's listing the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? And basically, we don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu's kever is. But if they had a kever for Moshe Rabbeinu, if we found it, I'm sure in the tombstone would say the following. Pretty good. Greatest level of nevuah. All the tremendous osos and mofsim. Shashorcha Hashem lasos bar mitzvayim lefaro chol avodah v'charatzo. Chol yada chazaka, chol moragado. Asha osa Moshe eni kol Yisrael. So Rashi says each phrase is referring to something else. Chol Yada Chazaka is he's makabel the Torah, the Luchos. He went up to Shemayim, pretty awesome madrega of Torah, Nevuah. Chol Amora Hagado Nisim Gevur Shem Midbar Hagado Vanora. He did Nisim with Bnei Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu has quite an obituary that they're going to write about him. Amazing things they're going to put on his tombstone. The last thing the Torah writes, "Ulchua Yadach Le'enei Kol Yisrael," Shenasu Libo Lishmar Luchos Einayim. Moshe Rabbeinu had the strength, the courage to break the luchos, and the way the Sifsei Chachamim learns, what Moshe Rabbeinu really did, the godless of this last thing, was Moshe Rabbeinu's chiddush. This is one of the three things Moshe Rabbeinu decided to do by himself, and Hashem is maskim to him. It's Gemara in. Yivamos, what daf? Not bad. What say accomplishments? According to Rabbi Harris. Huh? Okay, Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Rabbi. So, Lamaisa, look at that. This is one of the three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did in Hashem was maskim to. I was bothered by it. Well, is that okay? It's fine. Moshe Rabbeinu, good chiddush, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're putting that up there with getting the luchos down for Klal Yisrael, leading all the nisim that happened, you see, it's Mitzrayim and the Midbar. This is like your greatest accomplishments. Teretz is, yeah. A guy says his own Musar Chabur Chiddush. Bosai, that, but it was one thing I did. I know, it's a huge accomplishment. Bensi Epstein, I hope you're listening. I still remember your shmooze from 2 years ago. Gotta say shmoozim. I say this. Like if you guys owe me their shmuzim, so don't go anywhere without telling me your shmuz. But it's a big thing. I've jotted down on the side of my chumash at home. The other week's last expires Avraham Moshe Mendelssohn when he was in Kollel said the shmuz. I have it down. My friend Rapshol, I have what he said by his bris, or his kid. I jot down sometimes other people's shmuzim. Beautiful. Nice things. I have written down some Talmidim shmuzim too. You don't know. Chiddush is a big deal. And a chiddush doesn't have to be a Musar Chabur. You said over Rabbi Luban. What about in Shir, the Rebbe was bothered by something, and just like the way you asked a question made the Rebbe think something else. That's also not a big chiddush. Right? That's not a big accomplishment. Whether or not Rabbi Luban puts your name in the sefer, or I put your name. But that's a big deal. So there are major, major accomplishments that people have in learning, but realize that Musar Midos, Derech Eretz, that's in many ways a greater accomplishment. And that's something for people, again, nobody, there's no fanfare. Most of Chaburi you might say over to people. People hear that. But you're not necessarily saying, unless there's an AA meeting. No one's saying over, oh, I was Kovish my Yitzhahara. I became lots of a Balkas. We don't usually get together and express those things. But realize there's a lot of big accomplishments. A lot of big deals. So that's accomplishments. Second thing I wanted to talk about was experiences. And really some of that I already talked about. See, the fallacy in life, sometimes people live just for experiences, but not for accomplishments. If you're just looking to have a great experience, you know, that's really not our goals in life, not to have great experiences. If your goal is to have great experiences, you're probably not, you're just into having, you know, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael next year. Oh, I just want to be there with my friends. Let's go places. I'm like, amazing. Guys graduated. I can talk now. Like, that's what you want to accomplish? No. That's what you want to experience. Mindset of people is so shallow. You don't, a lot of times, even if you have goals to have experiences, who says those experiences are even going to happen for you? Experiences happen. Goals, you have things you set out to accomplish. But life works its way out. You end up, you know, the lights went out in the base medrash. And Afal Pikein, you learned. There is a chas hashalom, a terrorist threat. And we had to go sit for an hour in the kolo. That was an experience. And that's something you remember. Great. You know, all these things, good recruit, all these things are things that, you know, Baruch Hashem, when we have good, positive experiences, you look back, you reminisce about them, you enjoy them, you reflect on them, but it's not necessarily something where you have a goal for. And the mail comes about. But when you have that, you definitely could talk about that, appreciate that. I'm sure everyone in this room has their own personal experiences. Guys would come back from Palm Beach. Rebbe, did I have an experience? I was there when this, thou who should not be named, was there. I almost went a week when he was going to be there. You know, all these type of things, those experiences, yeah, they'll last with you. You know, perm experiences, different things. You know, in life, interactions people had positively, you know, with other people, high school guys, this, that, those experiences, things, retreats, we had some fun things. Hopefully, I have a few more to come. We'll talk soon about Eretz Yisrael. And those are things which obviously you appreciate, you reflect, you know, I think, you know, collecting is an experience. Oh boy, you guys have stories. You know, the end of Azman, we had a wedding in this yeshiva this year. We had Shavu Brachos in yeshiva. Like, those are experiences which touch the people, hopefully many people's hearts and minds, be part of something that you reflect back, wow, this is a banner year. You know, you don't have to have a yearbook to remember the things. Right? They're part of us. We had them. We won't forget them. Idea of staying up all night, you know, as a fundraiser to go to Eretz Yisrael, like, we did amazing things. Really? Shachris by some mansion in Miami Beach. Just like, huh? We do these, things happened. Fun stuff. And hopefully those are experiences that will last. But really, third step, which I like to talk about, is opportunities. I want to talk about two steps. First step of opportunities is after you have a long zman, and really you're at the end, I'm looking forward to next zman. So a nice thing, you know, at this point in the year, it's okay to do it, not Hanukkah time like some places. But you know, you have guys talking of, got a little bit of chavrusa tumult, guys hawking who the chavrusa is going to be next year, or this or that. I'm not advocating that or not. But the point being that's also a good healthy thing. That after you have a long zman, people look forward, you know what? I accomplished so much this year. I hope I did as much as I can. Maybe there's some things I want to do more next year. And I look forward, what's going to be next year? That's a very good, healthy thing. to look forward to what's going to be next year. Guys shouldn't think about next year on Rosh Chodesh Elul, or this year, post Rosh Chodesh Elul. Looking forward to next year is something you do now. And Hu Adin, you know, I don't have the schus, I don't have the opportunity, based on circumstance, to be there, be Be'ez Hashem and Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of this month. But I figured at least the end of this Vod, I should talk a little bit about what it means, the opportunity that Be'ez Hashem will soon have, those of us who are joining us, to go off to Eretz Yisrael, is an opportunity which, like Holter just walked in, you could talk about, you know, when you were a kid, did you dream of going to Eretz Yisrael? Not an easy dream to have. So benimsa. Like Holter, we have to be careful this is being recorded. But really the opportunity, the chance to go to Eretz Yisrael, we might take for granted today, you could buy a ticket and jump on the plane and be there. But really, it's something which is not a thing we should ever take for granted. And once you get a little bit older, you realize in life, you don't necessarily have so many opportunities to go back. And it's really, really a special thing. And not just to go as a tourist, but Be'ezus Hashem, as we hope to go as a yeshiva, to learn. I think we should, A, first of all, treasure that opportunity. Appreciate that. Now is a good time already for guys to like look forward to that. The more a person looks forward to something, he yearns for something. When you're there, you're more likely, as we'll talk about in a moment, to accomplish and to appreciate those things. I remember as a bacher, you know, before I had the chance to go to Eretz Yisrael, the whole weeks, months before, all I was thinking about, well, I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's a big deal. And the more people think about it now, hopefully the better. The more easy people think about, you know, what I want to accomplish there. Now, as we mentioned before, you don't have goals to have experiences. Experiences will happen. Your goals in Eretz Yisrael is not, oh, I want to check out this and that. Okay, you can have them in the back of your mind. Of course, you want to check out the Tisch by Bells and, you know, what the base medrash looks like in Panovich and this Makobo, I don't know. Whatever interesting stuff and the yeshiva will plan stuff. But really, in terms of accomplishing, you know, we're looking to learn. Obviously, we'll do things along the way too. But I'm looking, first and foremost, to learn, accomplish, have a good zman, daven well. That's something a person can have as a goal. You know what? My davening, I'll call it the level 5. You know, I hope when I go to Eretz Yisrael, I come back a 6. I up my focus in davening, you know, one step more. You know, my shmiras on mitzvahs is a level 7. But I don't know, I go to Eretz Yisrael. I'm walking into the room where Chaim Kanievsky is sitting there. Like, you know what? Maybe I see people, their entire life is dedicated to mitzvos. You see mitzvos in the street, people running to the mitzvos. And you see diktuk in mitzvos. You know, this Sephardi taxi driver is not even wearing yarmulke. Boy, when he says a bracha and he says Baruch Hashem, does he mean it? Like, to pick that up and say, you know, hey, I'm from birth, and I'm sitting and learning 3 Siddharm. Why don't they have a Muna like that? Say brachas like that? Have our eyes opened. The more, like, it's in our heads going in, the more likely we are to notice it when we're there. To relish that opportunity. It's a big deal. You know, and what we have, Blianahara, you know, it mamish fell in our laps. I could tell you firsthand from being involved in it. We were looking for a place. There's a place. You know, I met Reb David Chait in the stairwell. For those guys from Queens could appreciate it. Our meeting took place in the stairwell by the Ezra's Noshim in Queens, the little platform overlooking the Masifta Beis Medrash and the library. We sat there for 10, 15 minutes schmoozing, and I was talking about there. I said, oh, this and that. We've been looking for a place. And that. Or my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law has a place. Why my brother-in-law? My mechudin has a place. Randomly, this, that. gives me his name. The greatest location practically in Yerushalayim. In between two buildings of the mayor, there is thousands and thousands of people everywhere you turn. We have our own three-story building. We'll have a kol Torah in the base manager because there's not 25 people sitting and learning. We have a kol of 25 guys there all day. Our own base medrash, our own dorm, our own lunchroom, right there in one building. But both sides, I don't think it was anything that I had to do with it or anyone else had to do with it. It's pure Tziat Ishmael. Just fell on our lap. Boom. That's amazing. No. Both sides, after just realized you get there, it's a show, it's kosher, I'm sure there'll be hawks. You know, you'll have mice in your bed. You won't have a bed. You won't have this and that. I don't know what it could be. You never know. Eretz Yisrael nicknamed the Yisur. But to realize and appreciate, you know, that is a big deal. I was zochah to go to Eretz Yisrael last time, a few years ago, when I went with the 12th grade. Before that in my life, I went, I guess, once married, I had a chance to go for Pesach. And as a bacher, I had a chance to learn there. But obviously, every time was special. The last time I went, I'm sure a lot of people, Ezra Cash is not in the room, but know of the crazy meisim that happened in yeshiva on the plane ride there. Rabbi Palgon had a few plane rides back and forth, or over the place. And I remember being there, I guess, one of the people in charge of this whole thing, feeling totally overwhelmed. Boy, are we in trouble. I tell over the story how the first day, the first thing we planned to do was go to the Koso. Except we were going to the Koso. The plan was on Yom Ha'atzmo at night. We were choshesh there might be some problems, and we tried hawking around before, trying to get some answers. And 10 minutes before the bus came to take us there, we found out that they were having a performance, not kosher performance, at the Koso that night. And we had to scrap, on a moment's notice, make a decision. We scrapped the trip, because how can you show the guys the Koso in the most profane way? You know, it's horrible. We had crazy Siyat Hashmaya. We decided, you know what? We went to the show in Har Nof, where that few months earlier, where people died al pi Kiddush Hashem, there was a terrorist attack in that shul. We went to that shul. We saw the bullet holes in the windows were still there. We had someone speak to us who had shaykhs. We davened there all the time. We davened Mario there. It's very inspiring in its own way. Did we plan that? It's totally not planned. Experiences happen. You know, we ended up in the B'nai Brak, and it was like crazy, crazy Siyat Hashmaya. We had an amazing moments with Chaim Kanievsky, Moshe Hol Hirsch. We went to the Beis HaKfaros in B'nai Brak, and like, it was crazy inspiring. Amazing moments. I didn't fully plan it. It happened. Experienced it. Davening, connections, gedolim, different things. Amazing. But this is one of the things people don't appreciate. You know, what things you're going to remember. We landed that Wednesday night. That's when we did the Har Nof. Thursday we spent the whole day in B'nai Brak. Then went to Kever Rachel. And we had this kumzitz sitting there by Kever Rachel, singing song after song. The Israelis were joining us in. It was like hard-nosed Israelis, these American bachurim were sitting there singing a kumzitz by Kever Rachel, going through all the Devekas and Simcha Liner, whatever songs we knew about Rachel Mevaka Banel. And then we decided that we'll sing Shweki's Mama Rachel in English, Kever Rachel. The Israelis who didn't even know, hard-nosed Israelis didn't know English words, were sitting there crying. Like the fact that some Jews, they know we're from Miami, huh? Right? Some American Jews could sit there in their own language, talk to Rachel Imenu. A moving sight, an amazing thing. And I remember we sat there, end of the story, and the point of the story. So we were talking, what are we going to do Friday night? Should we go to this tish or that tish? Get experiences, go around. But Maisa, we were all shot, all exhausted. So we decided, you know what? Instead of running around to these tish and this, we were only there for one Shabbos. We decided, you know what? We'll have an in-house oneg. And the place we're staying, we have an oneg right there. Like, not running around, not there. It's like a big experience. I remember that oneg, like it was just yesterday. Went for an hour and a half. Ezra Cash, Zachar Latov, had an idea at that oneg. He said, Rebbe, why don't we go around asking everybody? We were there for like 36 hours, 48 hours at that point. Why don't we go around asking everybody what the greatest experience so far? And that's talk we did. Went around the whole, everyone there, everyone gave a thing. And it was so meaningful. That, in some ways, not when you're dancing with some chassid in bells or this, that could also be inspiring. But your same guy you've been with all year, your chavrusa, you don't know when the most amazing experience is going to happen. It can happen in bells, it can happen in B'nai Brak, but it can also happen in the base matters. You're sitting and learning to chavrusa, get into a good fight, bring a call guy along too. I don't know. Experiences happen. Our goals are to accomplish, to learn, to continue Bezer Hashem, whatever tremendous chusim that we've had so far this year, to continue it on an even higher level in Eretz Yisrael, to yearn for it, to think about what we could do, what we could accomplish. It's a big deal. It's a big chus. And Bezer Hashem, we should all be zocha to utilize this opportunity as well as many other opportunities that Hashem will have in life to constantly grow further and further and higher and higher. Thank you.